Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Discrimination and Disparities by Thomas Sowell is a nonfiction work of economics, social analysis, and public policy, first published in 2018. It examines why economic and social outcomes differ among individuals, groups, and nations, and it challenges the habit of treating disparities as proof of discrimination. Sowell's purpose is not to deny that discrimination exists, but to argue that it is only one of several possible causes and often not the most informative explanation. Drawing on examples from history, institutions, and comparative outcomes across societies, he emphasizes sorting, incentives, culture, geography, and differing prerequisites for success. The book is written for readers who want an empirically grounded alternative to one-factor explanations, especially in debates about race, inequality, and policy. Its style is concise and accessible, but its arguments are built around a broad range of evidence rather than slogans or ideology. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, why disparities require more than a single explanation. A central argument of the book is that unequal outcomes are usually produced by multiple factors operating together, not by one dominant cause. Sowell pushes back against the tendency to explain group differences entirely through discrimination, exploitation, or inherited ability. Instead, he argues that outcomes depend on whether a person or group meets a set of prerequisites that can vary by time, place, and institution. That framework changes the question from who is to bluff you to what conditions are actually shaping the result. This is important because two groups can face the same formal rules and still end up with different outcomes if they differ in preparation, networks, family structure, or access to particular opportunities. Sowell repeatedly stresses that disparities are normal in a world where people differ and where institutions sort people for different tasks. The practical implication is that policy debates should begin with causal analysis rather than with moral assumption. The book asks readers to resist quick conclusions and to ask what combination of historical, cultural, and institutional factors is actually producing the pattern being observed. Secondly, the three types of discrimination and why the distinction matters. Sowell's discussion of discrimination is more nuanced than a simple yes or no judgment. He separates discrimination into different forms, including accurate sorting by institutions, taste-based animus, and unlawful discrimination based on prohibited characteristics. This distinction is central because not every use of differences among applicants or employees is irrational or immoral. Employers, banks, schools, and other institutions often make distinctions that are intended to match people with tasks, reduce risk, or improve efficiency. In Sowell's view, that kind of sorting can be beneficial and sometimes necessary. By contrast, discrimination driven by hostility or prejudice is harmful, and legal discrimination based on race or other protected traits is the kind most people condemn. The value of his framework is that it prevents the term discrimination from becoming so broad that it loses analytical usefulness. If every uneven outcome is called discrimination, then the concept stops helping us identify the actual mechanism at work. Sowell therefore treats discrimination as a category that must be carefully defined before it can be used in serious debate about inequality, institutions, or public policy. Thirdly, how self-sorting shapes economic and social outcomes. Another major theme is self-sorting, the idea that people often choose different institutions, neighborhoods, occupations, or educational paths before any outside actor imposes a final result. Sowell argues that many disparities reflect these prior choices rather than direct exclusion alone. Individuals respond to incentives, expectations, family circumstances, and perceived opportunities, and those responses create visible differences in later outcomes. This helps explain why broad statistics can be misleading when they are treated as if they describe the same kind of people in the same kind of settings. A group's distribution across jobs or schools may reflect patterns of self-selection, not only bias from institutions. Sowell uses this reasoning to caution against interpreting raw numbers as if they automatically reveal injustice. The deeper point is that people are not randomly placed into social and economic positions. They move through systems by making choices, and those choices are shaped by the environment around them. Once self-sorting is recognized, disparities look less like mysterious evidence of oppression and more like the cumulative result of different decision paths. That does not eliminate discrimination as a possibility, but it forces the analysis to become more precise. Fourthly, the misuse of statistics in debates about race and inequality. Sowell devotes significant attention to how statistics can be used carelessly or ideologically in public debate. He argues that numbers by themselves do not explain causation, and that selective comparisons can make a pattern look more conclusive than it is. A raw disparity between groups may reflect different age structures, qualification levels, migration histories, or institutional sorting patterns rather than bias. This is why he treats statistical claims with skepticism when they are presented as proof of discrimination without deeper contextual analysis. His approach is not anti-data. It is pro-context. He wants readers to ask what the numbers actually measure, what they leave out, and whether the comparison is truly between like cases. This is one of the book's most useful intellectual habits because it applies far beyond the specific issue of race in education, employment, banking, or crime. Statistics can illuminate trends, but they can also be made to support a preferred narrative if the underlying assumptions are not examined. Sowell's larger lesson is that serious analysis requires attention to mechanisms, not just patterns, and that statistical imbalance alone is not enough to establish a social verdict. Lastly, comparative examples that challenge one-factor theories of inequality. To test one-factor explanations, Sowell relies on comparative examples from around the world and across history. He points to groups that have prospered despite political weakness, social hostility, or lack of formal power, showing that discrimination cannot be the only driver of results. These examples serve a methodological purpose. They force readers to confront counterexamples that do not fit a simple oppression narrative. By comparing different societies and different minority groups, Sowell tries to show that outcomes are often more complex than ideological debates allow. The book's use of comparative evidence is important because it shifts the discussion away from American slogans and toward a broader historical and international perspective. That perspective makes it harder to assume that one explanation can cover every case. It also encourages readers to think in terms of variation, not just injustice. The result is a book that challenges confident generalizations by showing that the same broad category, such as minority status, can produce very different economic outcomes depending on surrounding conditions, group behavior, and institutional context. In conclusion, Discrimination and Disparities is best suited for readers who want a serious, evidence-driven examination of inequality, rather than a partisan argument. Economists, policy readers, students of race and public debate, and anyone frustrated by simplistic explanations for group outcomes will find it especially useful. Its main intellectual benefit is that it teaches a more disciplined way of thinking about causation. Not every gap implies discrimination. And not every disparity has the same origin. That makes the book valuable even for readers who disagree with Sowell's conclusions, because it sharpens the habit of asking better questions about evidence, comparison, and mechanism. What sets it apart from many books on inequality is its refusal to reduce complex social patterns to a single moral narrative. Sowell combines historical examples, institutional reasoning, and skepticism towards statistical shortcuts in a compact format that remains readable for non-specialists. The book stands out because it aims to clarify how disparities are produced, not merely to condemn them, and that makes it a distinctive contribution to debates about race, markets, and public policy. If you would like to support Thomas Sowell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.